You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about something that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. I'm Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Jessica Hibbert.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jessica?
I'm great.
What are we going to be talking about today?
We are going to be talking about, I think it's going to be a very spirited discussion, if you will.
Oh, well said.
We're going to be talking about wine and more, and we are going to be talking about digital. I'm very excited.
I'm looking forward to this conversation because we have Rob Colenso, who's with Total Wine and More. He's the head of user experience. So welcome, Rob.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell us, what do you do at Total Wine and More?
That is a great question. I actually play a hybrid role of both product management and user experience design. As our digital team has continued to evolve, one of the important aspects that we're starting to add to the team is a dedicated in-house organization that is focused on identifying and capitalizing on both the existing and emerging needs of the Total Wine and More customer, both current customers and those people who we hope will become customers. And so as part of that broader effort to make more and better contact with customers and improve the experience for them both digitally and in the context of an omnichannel retail experience more broadly, we've started developing an in-house user experience design team that focuses on all aspects of digital experience design, from upstream formative user research through to development of user experience flows, the visual design that sits on top of those, and the usability testing that goes into getting both the design right and getting the right design in the interest of finding economies of scale for getting design out to the user.
That sounds very, very complicated. However, you haven't always been in retail. What did you do before you got to Total Wine More?
I have had a strange, interesting journey over the years. I've been in product management, user experience design for about a decade, ended up stumbling into it after a first chapter of my career that was about 10 years in the journalism space, working for a number of years as a reporter and editor covering primarily military affairs, national security policy. And right about 2008, as the news business was starting to try and get its arms around this whole digital thing, I had the opportunity to move into a digital operations and product management role for the company I was with at the time. And really, frankly, never looked back. Spent a number of years working for Gannett USA Today, doing product management for their portfolio of local news and broadcast websites. More recently, spent a couple years with Capital One, doing new product development at the intersection of Capital One's products and services and the broader social media ecosystem, as well as in the emerging payments space. And it was there, while working on emerging payments, Apple Pay, Android Pay, and some of the emerging payments technology starting to hit retailers around the country now today, sort of piqued my interest in the e-commerce experiences more broadly, and decided that it was actually a more interesting space to be in, to be working in e-commerce from the retailer's perspective, hence the transition to Total Wine.
That's really cool. So how does your background in editorial work, which is sort of unique for a user experience or a product management person, how does that impact what you do at a retailer? Do you find that it influences your work?
Absolutely. I think one of the commonalities I've found between journalism and user experience is most squarely kind of in the area of research, right? If you are a naturally inquisitive person, you can either ask questions in support of developing a piece of content for print or broadcast, or you can take that inquisitiveness and turn that into developing insights that allow you to sort of figure out what that insight means in terms of developing the overall product experience, right? So I think there's a lot of commonality. But, you know, in terms of more of the kind of day-to-day of the digital experience that we're providing for users at Total Wine, you know, a lot of, I think, what retailers are wrestling with in some ways is how you take what can be a very utilitarian experience shopping online for products and start to wrap more of emotion and the broader sort of product lifestyle around that experience and really enriching the emotional design. And there, I think you start to look at things like content development as one way to start to tell that sort of broader lifestyle story. And it's certainly an area that we're emphasizing at Total Wine.
Yeah, so we haven't really talked about this. We're kind of assuming that people know what Total Wine is because we're familiar with it. But can you tell us a little bit about Total Wine and more, what the business is and how you guys approach e-commerce? I'm sure selling wine and spirits online is different than selling some other products online. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So Total Wine and More is the nation's largest independent retailer of fine wines, beers, and spirits. We have stores in, I think now 20 states. We're expanding pretty rapidly at this stage in our evolution. And we are a pretty heavy brick and mortar presence with, we started the year with 150 stores. And we're opening on average probably a store or two every other week.
So, how is that possible? I thought retail was dead.
Yeah, it really is an amazing success story in a lot of ways in terms of seeing where we are relative to a lot of our peers in the space. You're seeing, as other retailers obviously are contracting, we're hitting a point now where we really have gotten the in-store experience dialed to a place where, you know, we're able to start kind of rapidly scaling presence around the country. So it's been pretty amazing. But I think where that fits in terms of my day-to-day as a guy who slings pixels for a living, the way that we're looking at e-commerce is really truly from the omnichannel retail perspective. And I know that's a word that gets thrown around a lot in the retail space more broadly. But for us, it's as much by necessity as it is by design. Because of the regulated nature of the products that we sell, beer, wine, and spirits, there are some things that we just can't ship you as a customer. And even in that case, there's certain limitations, right? Like I right now can ship wine and accessories to customers through FedEx. And that's great. Accessories I can ship to all 50 states, but wine I can only ship to 18 states. So sort of by its nature, this is, in a lot of ways, a very heavily buy online, pick up in store kind of experience. And so in that way, you know, I as a designer of experiences have to look at it holistically and say, what role does digital play for you as the customer? Thinking about all the different touch points in that journey, where does digital have a unique job to play in terms of facilitating a ever more elegant and seamless fulfillment experience, whether it's shipping, like I was talking about with wine and accessories, or buying online and picking up in store for the full product catalog, or as we're starting to get into increasingly in 2017 and beyond, delivery is something separate apart from shipping. So it really, really is very omnichannel.
You know, it's really interesting because you're basically you were charged with creating this department, and so many people in the business say that you know, it's hard to convince leadership that this is important. What's it like to start something like this from scratch? What kind of support did you need from the leadership, and what kind of results have you seen as a result of that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think the thing that I have benefited from particularly is the leadership team at Total Wine is very customer focused. And you know, we as user experience design practitioners often talk about it using terminology like human-centered design or user-centered design. But where I think that resonates with an executive team is when you start talking about it in slightly different terminology, when you say things like customer-focused design and enhancing the customer experience. And that subtle change in nomenclature really, I think, kind of helps turn it in a lot of cases. But what I benefited from, particularly at Total Wine, is our executive leadership team from the CEO down is uniquely very customer focused. And so as I sort of, you know, kind of girded my loins for what I thought was going to be a very challenging pitch in presenting this concept for an in-house product design team, I actually found that there was a great degree of receptivity to it. It's, I think, the challenge that we wrestle with as an organization that is seeking to get digital experiences out to customers more quickly and more efficiently is balancing that desire to get deep on the research side and really truly understand the needs of the customer at the degree of depth that one would love to have if one had 6 months to spend researching. The reality is that's just not the case. So how do you balance, you know, fidelity of information with speed of delivery?
What about social media? Do y'all use social media to basically tell that story?
We do. We have a digital marketing team as part of our overall digital department that is responsible for things like search engine optimization, search engine marketing, and more to the heart of your question, social media related promotion as well. Haven't yet really gotten into deep sort of back and forth social engagement, just given, you know, comparative challenges on the resourcing side. It's a lot of it's still very outbound at this stage, but I think as we look at it over time, there's interesting opportunity for more two-way conversation between us and our customers, as well as also facilitating conversation amongst our customers to create more of a community of enthusiasts around beer, wine, and spirits, because everybody knows something about beer or wine or spirits that somebody else doesn't know, and there's a lot of interesting opportunity for knowledge sharing that can happen there. That I think reinforces our own, you know, company level expertise in the space. And then beyond that, certainly you see other organizations like, you know, my previous employer, Capital One, getting into the social servicing space, using social channels to service customer concerns and address, you know, kudos from customers as well. I think there's probably opportunity for us there as well, but not something we've really dug into yet.
It's interesting to see how different retailers and different businesses in general use social media and how they balance like that advertising messages, developing a community, providing customer service. I think no matter what stage your business is at, that's a tricky thing to kind of balance.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of social media, we like to stalk all of our guests on LinkedIn before they come in and see us. So we were doing a little research on you, and we saw a pretty impressive bullet point on your resume. It said you led some initiatives that contributed to a 55% increase in e-commerce revenue last year, which I think if you're a retailer listening, that number is going to make your eyebrows raise. So how did you do that? Tell us the story behind that.
Yeah, I think the interesting story of 2016 for us was, as we look at the e-commerce experience that we're creating for our customers, the leadership team from our owners and board of directors on down to the senior executive day-to-day leadership is looking at digital as a long game. You know, this is not just another way to make another $100,000 in revenue this month. And so really, in a lot of ways, 2016 was about continuing to enhance the overall user experience. The site was still fairly new in 2016. The desktop experience and mobile web experiences that are in market today only launched in late summer of 2015. And like any new site, it was not doing all the things that it might, could, should do for customers. So as we continued to focus down on improving the elegance and seamlessness of customer transitions from page to page, whether for buy online for in-store pickup experience or a shipping experience, just simply smoothing out a lot of those user flows had the natural benefit of reducing abandon rates throughout the experience, right? Whether it's, you know, transitioning from a product list page to a product details page, or, you know, improving carting rates or moving from carting to checkout, the revenue gains we saw actually in some ways were just the natural extension of improving the overall user experience.
So they were small iterations instead of like one big thing that contributed to that,
exactly,
that increase in revenue.
Exactly, yeah.
So I would guess that because you can only deliver in 18 states, is part of that process, you look at other ways. So you've got in-store pickup, for mm-hmm. example. So can you order online and then go to your local store and it's there ready and all you have to do is just grab it?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's for us right now, the buy online, pickup in-store experience is I think in a lot of ways where we're going to continue to have a sweet spot, because we can offer the full product catalog in that case. Shipping, yeah, we can only ship wine to 18 states, but I think that's where, you know, we start to look at opportunities like delivery as something separate and apart from shipping as an opportunity that gets really interesting when you can tell a customer, you know, that while you're driving home one night, you know, Tuesday night, say, and this is the example I love to use in this case, Total Wine is one of those stores where we're kind of just outside of your normal pattern of life from week to week, right? You're going to go to the supermarket each week, you're going to go to the drugstore, you're going to go to maybe, you know, a big box club store. And, you know, Total Wine is a separate kind of destination, you know, where you're going to see customers, you know, stocking up or maybe doing some infill between stock ups.
Or you're having a party on the weekend or something like that.
Exactly. And the piece that I want to win is I want to win the Tuesday night bottle of wine. You know, when you're driving home from work on Tuesday night and you're stuck at the stoplight crawling through traffic and you say, you know what, I'm just going to order a pizza tonight. And you order that pizza because, you know, right about the time you get home, that pizza is going to show up at the same time as you do. I want the person to be able to order a pizza at one stoplight and then be able to order a bottle of wine at the next stoplight and have them both show up at the same time when I arrive home. And that's where delivery becomes really exciting in that regard. Now, we've got some pilots up and running in a number of different markets, testing kind of different flavors of delivery with integrations via third-party partners like Instacart and similar, South Beach, Austin, some other places like that. And not surprisingly, given those locations, you know, delivery is doing exceedingly well. And P.S., the convenience of having wine to show up at your doorstep. Amazing. Right. So now as we look at 2017.
It's like magic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like Christmas on Tuesday. And to get to that place now where we start to integrate delivery more seamlessly into the core experience where we can own the brand experience end to end. You know, not saying that we necessarily would move away from partnerships, but looking at opportunities to sort of bring those two pieces together to expand on that delivery capability.
So there are some startups in the space of wine and spirits delivery. So do you I'm thinking of Drizzly off the top of my head, but right. There are a couple others as well. Do you consider them partners? Do you consider them competitors? Do you consider them both? Or how does that all work in the industry that you're in?
You know, I think it's going to depend on the, you know, market in question, right? I mean, there's space for all of us to play because we're doing different kind of jobs, right? There's the Drizzlies in many bars of the world, you know, companies like that in some cases are working in concert with the sort of local corner store to open up that market for them and give them the ability to get product into people's hands more seamlessly. For us, I think the differentiator is the depth and breadth of the product catalog. You know, when you walk into your average Total Wine store, you're going to see 8,000 bottles of wine on the shelf, 2,500 different types of beer. And for the customer who is looking for something a little different that their corner store might not have, right? It's simply a function of available space on the shelves, you know, and I think there's always going to be probably a place for both of us in that regard just because there's kind of different things we're doing.
And some of that is probably, too, I would imagine one of the differentiators for Total Wine and More is also if you have that many products, you have a certain level of expertise and you can recommend specific products to people. How do you translate that into a digital experience? Mm. And how do you bring that expertise to someone on digital instead of, you know, if they're not going into a store?
Yeah, I love that question because I think going back to that example of...
I was going to ask that question, Justin.
Sorry, Bill.
I've got it written down right here just to prove it.
Well, and this is, you know, going back to that example of 8,000 bottles of wine, right? It's both delightful and intimidating depending on who you are as a customer. And you walk into your Total Wine store. And the thing I think that we do really well is that same level of high-touch service that you get at your corner store, right? It's that sort of goal of being the reference point that the customer uses when they say, I've got a guy, I've got a girl. Oh, I need an X. Oh, I got a guy, I got a girl. And that's kind of the role that the proprietor of the local corner store, that's kind of the role they have in a lot of cases. But for us to provide that similar level of high touch service, I think is both certainly good for the customer, but also probably very necessary because you walk in and you suffer from potentially paralysis of choice. Where do I go? This is like Disneyland for adults. I don't even know where to begin, right? And you know, in the store experiences, if you guys have frequented Total Wine, you'll notice that more often, you know, that a sales associate will come in and say, "What can I help you find today?" And you know, give you that sort of expert recommendation and high touch experience. And getting back to the heart of your question, I think we haven't nailed it yet online. You know, going back to that point I was making earlier about it being a kind of very utilitarian experience today. But as you start to explore these different use cases, right, because you can kind of look at it, you know, on a sort of XY axis. I love to kind of frame things this way because it sort of helps me think. I'm a visual thinker. On the vertical, you think about level of expertise from expert at the high end to I know nothing about beer, wine, or spirits on the low end. And on the horizontal, you look at specificity of what they're looking for from I'm just browsing, I'm not even sure what I want, to I'm looking for a needle in a haystack. And that expert who's looking for the needle in the haystack, that's a very different need set than that customer who knows nothing about wine, who's throwing a dinner party and wants to make sure they get it right, that you pair the right red or white with salmon and OMG, I've never done this before. That's a very different kind of experience, a very different tool. And in turn, the novice who's looking for something specific, I'm going to a friend's party, I need to bring a bottle of wine, he or she knows way more about wine than me, I don't want to look stupid.
Yeah,
I need to get it right. And in each one of those cases, I think there's a different tool that you can provide. You know, for that novice, how do I help them develop a better understanding of their taste profile in order to help them make more informed choices. And then along the way, be able to provide smart, right time, right place product recommendations. You know, there's, I think, some really interesting explorations we have underway now on, in an algorithmic way, getting to a place where we can, you know, help somebody not only understand their taste profile, but also be able to, in, again, seamless and elegant ways, surface those right recommendations to help them make some quick choices as well.
You know, what always impresses me, and especially in the job that you have and working with our IT department and talking to others in the industry, is how quickly things are evolving. How do you stay on top of that, especially in this space? It seems like what's here and new today is replaced by something new in here tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's probably two pieces to that for us. One is, as we have continued to evolve our digital practice, one of the more recent changes that we've made from just how we write software, from that perspective, we've embraced what's called agile software development. And in that context, the sort of agile philosophy really espouses the notion of continuous planning and recognizing the fact that the roadmap that you started with in January can, will, and should change over the course of a year, reacting to market conditions, emerging trends in the competitive set, evolving needs of the user, emerging technologies. And so I think, one, just embracing that notion of continuous planning and knowing and being enthusiastic about the idea that your product roadmap is going to change is a huge leg up in that vein. But then on the flip side, how do you stay in touch and connected? I think that's where, you know, I and my team come into the conversation much more broadly, in terms of making sure that everybody inside the organization is as deeply as possible grounded in what we're continuing to learn from customers as we're kind of kneecap to kneecap with people on a week-to-week basis. You know, for us, it's incumbent on us to be out talking to current and potential customers as often as we can so that we can, you know, bring those insights back, synthesize them, and translate them for others inside the organization to start to begin to take advantage of.
Are you bringing any kind of technologies into the store as well? I mean, I can go online, I can do a lot, but I mean, there's a lot of retailers now that are bringing in new technologies to enhance the customer experience.
Yeah, and I think that's where mobile really plays a meaningful role for us, because we look at mobile kind of from a two-pronged perspective. One, facilitating easier, better remote commerce experiences, the shopping that you do with your feet up on the coffee table and your bunny slippers, right? But then the other piece, and I think an equally important one for us, given our heavy brick and mortar presence, is what is the role of the mobile device in the context of the in-store experience as a digital companion to the browsing customer who may not want to have a deep interaction with one of my sales associates, who wants to sort of operate on a more solo basis, right? Like the podcast episode that you guys aired a few weeks ago about Gen Z, right? They're true digital natives, much more independent, much less interested in the hard sell. For them, giving them a companion digital experience in the store that allows them to be a more independent operator and a more informed consumer has a lot of value. When you start to pair that with things like BLE beacon technology to surface offers, promotions in a right time, right place way to extend the length of the in-store session, to see if we can add, you know, more items to the basket, you know, more higher margin items, the ability to provide a more guided selling experience starts to get really interesting.
I'm very far from the Gen Z demographic, but I still can't remember the last time I was shopping in a store and didn't look at my phone for some kind of information. And the more intimidating the product, the more often or the more likely I am to look at my phone or look up something before I ask a sales associate, because I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right,
so
right.
I think
Absolutely.
That's really smart.
You know, your example earlier of taking a wine to somebody that knows wine, I'm actually, if he's listening, he knows I'm talking about him, because I've stopped taking wine and I've just started taking flowers to his wife. It works out much better. The look I get sometimes when I walk in with a bottle of wine is kind of embarrassing. But anyway, we're getting close on time, and this has been extremely interesting. And we've been talking a lot about what you're doing at Total Wine and More. if somebody wants to see what you're doing, where do they go?
They would, on the web, go to totalwine.com, TOTALWINE.com. We're on desktop and mobile web as well. And at some point, coming to an app store near you will be a native mobile application as well.
Great.
So you've listened to the podcast, so this is coming as no surprise. But we like to end our podcast with a few rapid-fire questions.
Great.
And this is something that we'll just throw it out there. We want you to tell us what immediately comes to mind.
All right. Well, wine or beer? What's your preference?
Wine.
All right.
Red or white?
Red.
What's the oldest piece of technology you still own and refuse to part with?
I have a 1941 cabinet radio that is shortwave and AM.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I do.
And what's your favorite? It's not a trick question. You don't have to say Retail Gets Real. We know that already.
Retail Gets Real. And probably Presentables, which is a podcast on user experience design.
Oh, cool. I don't know that one. Who's the first person you turn to for advice?
My wife.
What's the last thing you ordered online?
Water shoes for my daughter.
All right.
Favorite app?
Favorite app? Spotify.
Very good. Rob, thank you so much for all the time that you've taken to be with us. This has been incredibly interesting. We really appreciate
it. Great. Glad to be here.
So thank you, folks listening, for tuning in once again to Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. And don't forget, subscribe to, and don't miss any of the new episodes. You can find us at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. Rob, please come back.
Absolutely. I'd be glad to.
Jessica, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.